of God and Monsters. What's that all about? Coming up next on this special edition of The Right Stuff. Stuff. The Queen Parker J is here. I'm so glad you can join me for this special edition of the show. Today we're going to be talking to a returning guest co-host and contributor today, Jeff Hanna. He is a horror novel as well as a publisher, and he's going to help us talk about the topic of God and monsters, where the intersection of Christian fiction and dark fiction collide. There's so much to this topic. I hope we can really delve into it. This show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any live questions or comments today, but you can definitely get your family to join in on the conversation and just talk about it with us. I want to also thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club. To find out more about Christian Book Club, simply go to christianbookclub.net. We also want to thank our collaboration with Readio app. The Readio app is for Christian books. So if you want to get your book on an app solely dedicated to Christian books from all genres and different types of authors, go to readioapp.com and find out more about it. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about God and Monsters right here on this special edition of The Right Stuff.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, and welcome back to the special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen is here. We're talking today to my returning guest co-host and contributor, Jeff Hanna. He is an author as well as a publisher, and we're going to be talking about Of God and Monsters, the intersection of dark fiction and Christian fiction. During the month of October, I generally showcase authors who write darker fiction, who are Christians or and come from a Christian worldview. I think it's important because I believe that God uses the dark things that happen in our lives to point us even closer to his light. And to assume that there are people who have not experienced, let's say, demonic attack or not experiencing the dark aspects of spiritual warfare and other things like that is to pretend as if God doesn't exist, because these things exist. We do know that we are in battle against not flesh and blood, but against spiritual beings and principalities in high places. We are very familiar with that verse. So to pretend as if we don't have horror in our lives is to actually pretend that God doesn't exist. And perhaps I'm being too divisive on that, but I actually think that if we don't acknowledge the dark spots in humanity, then how can we really show people that there is a light to shatter that darkness? And Jess is one of my favorite authors. I read his book when they come out all the time. I always love to have him on the show. He's a wonderful author. He has a way of telling a story that is so compelling, quite terrifying. And it's terrifying because he has this knack of building layers to the story. And all of a sudden you realize that you have to have the light on when you read one of his tales. I always talk about my first experience with his writing when he was on the Untold podcast several years ago, and he did a short story that they animated and narrated called If It Causes You to Sin. And there was a horrible logic to that story. Our unnamed narrator says that his hand is causing him to sin, and so going to cut it off. The horror of that particular short story came into fact that it made sense, and he was doing what the Lord said. But the Lord doesn't call us to self-mutilate ourselves. But without the Lord to guide our action, we could self-mutilate ourselves by, you know, every time you do something bad, cut off an appendage. I remember I was live tweeting it on Twitter, and Jess was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's doing this. But that was my first exposure to Jess Hanna, and it's only gotten better as I read more of his books. And he likes to take these topics kind of off the wall and build in a Christian worldview and narrative that I think is just absolutely wonderful. And he does it through the vehicle of dark fiction. And he's not the only one. Throughout this month, you're going to be hearing from other authors who write dark fiction. And I don't want you to immediately dismiss them from your mind. Go ahead and pick up one of their books, because they have a unique talent to show in the midst of horror, there is God. It reminds me of Psalms 139, where he says, I make my bed in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. So much to that verse. I know there's more we're going to talk about here. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Jess Hanna. Jess, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing excellent. Thank you, Parker. I appreciate that generous introduction.
I think it's just the God's honest truth. This is me. I really, you know, I love your writing. And, you know, I have to thank your wife, because she gave us the new theme music for our network as well. So you guys have been a huge help to me, which I definitely appreciate. And so it's my honor to have you and present you to our listeners out here. And also to really peel back some of the veils on this thing about dark fiction and Christian fiction, where they intersect, why they should intersect, why Christians shouldn't be so dismissive of that intersection. I already tell people what I think about you, but go ahead, tell us what you think about you.
I just enjoy darker type of fiction or scary movies, things like that. My first exposure was at a very young age, watching a movie I should not have been watching, which was Nightmare on Elm Street. Of course, it gave me terrible nightmares, but then, of course, it also gave me these ideas. So a lot of my upbringing was wanting to watch these scary stories and seeing the heroes and the heroines defeating the villain, and it's really not much different than many of the other type of good versus evil stories and fantasy and other types of stories that exist. But for some reason, I was just drawn to more of the supernatural aspect or kind of the bizarre type of aspect of the fiction, monster movies, things like that. So the things that go bump in the night. One of the things that encouraged me to start writing about them is that while I enjoyed being scared and all of that, the messages usually fall apart somewhere along the way, and it doesn't really equip you for handling those things that may be real in the spiritual realm. Like you were saying, we do have a battle that is primarily spiritual. Throughout that, these stories and these movies, they just kind of usually trail off into something that doesn't make sense or doesn't ring true. So that's really a goal with my fiction, is have it ring true and hopefully maybe equip someone or make them think about the fact that there is a spiritual realm around us that we can and should be engaged in.
One of the interesting things that Hollywood produces, they produce a lot of horror movies, and it's most of the time from a Christian perspective, in that there's a demonic element to it. And they have the priest or whoever, some entity. Sometimes they have shamans. Sometimes they have these ghost investigators or paranormal people that come to attack evil, but oftentimes fail in some aspect. And let's talk about this, because these movies really quite accurately depict just how powerless we are to fight against these demonic and spiritual entities on our own, particularly more modern horror movies, not necessarily the older ones. We are shown let's say the priest is trying to get rid of whatever it is, and he can't do it. And then someone who's not a Christian comes about and saves the day. That's usually how it comes about with some of these horror movies. But tell us why it's actually a good thing to see this, because it lets us know that in the real world, the spiritual warfare has to be fought with the power of Jesus Christ.
I did find something, found a few stories that were interesting of Hollywood producers who actually engage people who are Christian in their beliefs in order to create these realistic scenarios. For example, in the more recent movie, The Conjuring, that's based on a real life story and some real life people that are involved, some hinky spiritual stuff that I'm not quite sure I buy, but they were able to contribute to that in order to realistically depict those situations. So horror is one of those genres in books, movies, that just has the ability to create this idea that there is an adversary that is obvious that we fight against. And I think it just gives that visualization or creates that imaginary scenario where you know exactly who you're fighting against. And like you said, you may be powerless to handle it. And in a lot of modern fiction, for example, It in the story and also in the movie, they try to make that into more of a, we can all band together and fight against this monster sort of scenario where friendship is the thing that really binds it, which that does have an aspect of truth to it. But as a Christian, I believe I have all of the power behind me. All I have to do is call upon it.
And the thing with Stephen King, when you mentioned him and It, thing about Stephen King was that he was really hurt by the church as a young person. And he talks about it. And that's why a lot of his books have that aspect of the church people in a horrible light, because he was hurt by the church. I forgot in what way, so forgive me for not knowing the full story. And but it's interesting because they feel as if we bound together, we will take care of this adversary. It does a great job, actually, in depicting it with the children. But with the children, there's also that aspect of innocence that was involved, too, because they were young, and it knew that it could terrify the kids via fear. And the older you get, in Stephen King's world anyway, the older you get, you just ignore these things. That's why it wasn't able to frighten the adults, because the adults just simply ignore it or push it away. When we talk about community prayer, and imagine if a bunch of Christians got together and prayed against a certain thing, and since we're on the topic of demonic stuff, we'll just keep flowing with that. If a bunch of Christians got together and prayed this thing out of someone or away from a loved one, the power that we have is there. It's a real thing. So even though we have, let's say, a movie, It, using man's strength to overcome evil, we can take that to the next level in the spiritual realm when we have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who can do that for us. Correct me where I'm wrong, Jess.
Oh, no, absolutely. That sounds absolutely perfect. One of the things that made me think of is earlier this year, of course, we've had a lot of chaos this year. It's kind of been an unbelievable year, what with COVID and then everything happening with the racial situations and or however you want to classify them. It created this deep need for prayer. Our little community, which is outside of Grand Rapids, there was a group that was formed to just meet for prayer once a week, like the old time prayer meeting, that sort of thing, that seems to have gone by the wayside, but they're meeting once a week on the evenings. And at first it was just prayers for the nations, and then it became prayer for the community, prayer for individual lives. And there have been incredible testimonies from people who've been at those meetings talking about how that's changed their lives to something that was so simple as just committing to meet for prayer.
So we're talking today to Jess Hanna. He is an author and a publisher. And we're talking today about God and monsters, the intersection of Christian fiction and dark fiction. So we're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Jess about the topic. And we're going to actually go into my favorite monster sci-fi franchise. And I cannot wait to talk about it. So just stay tuned right there. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the special edition of The Right Stuff. The Queen, Parker J, is here. We're talking to my guest co-host and contributor, Jess Hanna. He is an author and publisher, and we're talking about Of God and Monsters, the intersection of dark fiction and Christian fiction. Before the break, we were talking about the supernatural elements that Hollywood creates and then how we can use these things to parallel what God does for us in the spiritual realm. Sometimes Hollywood does get it right. We are fighting an adversary on a spiritual realm. However, in Hollywood, they tend to want to use man's power to fight against the spiritual realm. But we know for certain that we cannot do it under our own power. With Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And Jess was sharing with us about how in his community in Kent, right outside Grand Rapids, a small town called Kent, they have a prayer meeting every week, and just how that has changed people's lives. And we're talking about the power of community prayer. But now we're going to talk about one of my favorite genres, which is monster movies. I actually love monster movies. Monster movies don't frighten me like they used to as a child. And a lot of it has to do with Granny. Those of you who follow me on Facebook, you know I talk about my granny a lot. And monster movies is grandmother's milk to me. And we watch them all the time. My mother used to get very upset because we would come home, you know, crying and seeing all these monster movies. My mom would holler at mama and say, "I told you not to let the kids watch that stuff." And to which grandma would just, you know, shrug her shoulders, go, "Oh, well." But throughout that childhood thing, we really got into the Alien franchise. And so, Jess, as I bring you back on here with the Alien franchise, it's sci-fi, it's a monster movie, it's a horror element, and it's a thriller element. And me and my sisters, we really are obsessed with this movie, like the whole franchise. We really are obsessed with it, and we enjoy it. We'll watch it together sometimes, and we'll just, you know, go back into childhood, because for us, it was childhood. This is childhood for us. Some people have, you know, unicorns. Some people have rainbows. We have aliens. So it's actually very nostalgic for me and my sisters. Like I said, grandmother's milk. And my aunts and my mom, even, they realized our love for sci-fi came from Granny because she watched it all the time. But with the Alien franchise, we have something a little bit closer to home. It's not necessarily a supernatural element. It's an adversary against someone on this realm. And I think aliens, if we want to put a Christian worldview on the thing about aliens, is that you're fighting against an invading force. And the aliens come, you know, they have a massive chip on their shoulder, and they're coming to take over. And they come in different ways. And what's very fascinating is that the aliens don't come as we see them full grown. They come in these eggs. And what comes out these eggs are face huggers. And they look like spiders with long tentacles that go over people's faces. I'm going to stop there because I know some people are like, "Parker, I don't want to hear about it." But let's talk about how even evening up the score by understanding, even though we are fighting against spiritual powers, we do have to fight in this world against spiritual powers that may be affecting us on the natural realm.
It's a great comparison as far as the villain that's in there, even when you're talking about the eggs and the seemingly innocuous beginning, that's a lot of times how trouble happens. That there's things that just creep in that seem like they're innocuous, and then before you know it, they're a full-grown monster, and you don't have any idea how to fix that problem. And another thing with those creatures is that they're relentless, right? They don't ever seem
exactly
to sleep. They don't ever seem to need sleep, and you always have to constantly be on guard. So I think that is an excellent comparison when thinking about the type of villains or type of adversaries that we have in our own lives, right? The supernatural forces, they don't sleep. They will continue to work on both sides. Of course, I believe and you believe that that God and Jesus Christ is definitely able to eliminate all that and obliterate all of that from affecting our lives. But we have to know and recognize when those things are there in order to defeat them.
That's the important part, is recognizing it. And again, going to the movie, in the very first Alien movie, Ripley is trying not to let this thing end because the facehugger got on the guy's face. And she's like, look, according to the rules, we're not supposed to let this thing end. And they were going back and forth. We got to help him. She said, but there's something wrong with him. There's an alien thing on his face. Why do we have rules if we're not going to follow them? And because it didn't follow the rules, she's the only one who left to tell the tale. And we follow her through the whole franchise until the monstrosity of Alien Resurrection. And what happens here is that we have rules in place. And let's talk about the commandments for a minute. If we're going to parallel dark fiction, dark things like that, let's talk about that. God said, thou shalt not lie. And people say, well, I just told a little white lie. And it didn't really hurt anybody. But then white lies tend to turn to bigger lies and bigger lies and bigger lies. It's this huge cankerous sore that is infiltrated into our lives. And, you know, one thing that the Lord said, he said, a liar will not tarry in my sight. It's interesting that he said a liar will not tarry in my sight. Why do you think that's important for us to know as Christians, that lying is a really big deal to the Lord? There's no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie. So tell us a little about that, Jess.
Oh, sure. Definitely. I think that it's important for the factor of trust. If you're lying to start with, and then you have to tell another lie to cover that lie, and then, like you were saying, it just builds up into this huge cancerous tumor, this monster that now we have no idea what we're going to be able to do with. So I think it's important that you definitely try to avoid lying and try to be as truthful as possible. Of course, there's always situations where maybe you don't want to be as truthful as you could, in order to spare someone's feelings, but that's not really what we're talking about here. I think what really the issue is the lies that you tell to either protect yourself or to avoid getting into trouble, you know, those kinds of things. And then eventually they just build and build and build until you just have something that's completely out of control and you can't remember what you said to this person or that person.
We're storytellers, Jess. So quite frankly, we can say we lie all the time. You know, people say that, like, writers are just liars making money from it, like, whatever. Okay. But there is something to it. And like, I'm glad you put that little nuance there. And then another of my favorite monster franchises, Predator. Predator race is coming to conquer and they hunt. And I thought this was a significant part when we talk about dark fiction intersecting with Christian fiction, because the villain is hunting you. You're minding your business, not bothering anyone. You're just going to work, going to school, going to church, and yet there's an adversary hunting you, watching you, and they want to hurt you and then have you as a trophy, which is what the Predator does. I'm not going to say what it is because I know some of our listeners are sensitive, but I was thinking about how you can parallel that to Satan, that he's hunting you and your soul is the prize, because he wants to take you to hell with him. And so it becomes very interesting when you start to see these parallels with Christian fiction, how we can use Christian fiction and explore some of these darker elements of dark fiction and bring them together. What are your thoughts about that, Jess?
Well, I think that's a good comparison, or a thought about the hunting aspect of this, because Satan necessarily can't read our thoughts, but he's been around a long time, been able to observe human behavior. Satan and his demons will look and see what your weaknesses are or the things that you might be interested in, maybe tempt you in certain ways until they're able to figure out your pattern. So I think that everybody has this, could fall into in their own sinful behavior. So he just hunts those areas out and then just puts little ideas here and there. And eventually he's able to figure out what makes you tick, and then he can throw those temptations in your face over and over in order to destroy you. And the easiest way that you can recognize those things is Maybe they're just things that you're not even thinking about. Maybe something just pops in your head and suddenly you start thinking about things that you weren't thinking about a moment ago, or, you know, any situation where you just know that something isn't right that's happening. As far as the hunting aspect, that just reminds me of other stories as well, where the villain just sits and waits until he can figure out what your weaknesses is and then pounces on you.
The most interesting one, in my opinion, is the monster within. I believe we all have the propensity to be monsters because we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. There is a movie called 13 Reasons, not 13 Reasons, but 13 something. It'll come to me in a minute. And basically this guy, in order to win money, he has to do these tests. And as each time he does a test, the stakes go higher and higher and higher. And so like the first one was eat a fly. And so he ate the fly. He got like $500 or whatever. And then it was hit somebody and then eventually kill somebody to get this money. You know, so goes up and up and up. And he was motivated by greed, obviously. And I think human nature, contrary to what humanism would say, we don't have to be taught to lie. We don't have to be taught to do a lot of evil things. We all have that propensity to be the serial killer, to be the sociopath, to be the psychopath. And so that's why I mentioned the monster within. When I say that, why do you think that should be an important part of when it comes to Christian fiction intersecting with darker fiction?
I think that the monster within is something that is born within all of us. There's a big sect of the population that believes that we are born with the propensity for good. And I think that can be somewhat influenced by our culture and our upbringing to some degree once we're able to, you know, grow out of our toddler phase. But I think there is this huge propensity for self-destruction. So, for example, when you're younger, you may be thinking about, oh, I want to experiment with drugs or alcohol. And if you are a person that is prone to become addicted to those things, that's a way in, and then those things can ultimately destroy you. So I think that it is just one of those things where there can just be, like I said, a little thought or a little nugget that just turns on that part of you that has the propensity for whatever vice it is and can end up destroying you. I know you had mentioned early on in the show about if it causes you to sin, and that was an exploration of somebody who was self-destructive, obviously having outside influences on him, but it was somebody who was misinterpreting what was being said in order to fulfill a desire to just be rid of it. And I think we have a tendency to do that sometimes as well. Some people can be so sick of themselves that they actually harm themselves, creating their own villain.
That is like a mic drop. Just saying, you said creating their own villain. I was thinking of a popular show called Breaking Bad. And Breaking Bad does a really good job of showing a man who is at the end of his rope, a regular guy becoming a drug kingpin. And so these are things that Christian fiction can explore in dark fiction. That's why I don't believe we should necessarily stay away from it. And I know some of the authors I've interviewed over the years on this show, they actually explore dark fiction because they were there in their own lives. Some people have been saved from spiritual oppression. Some have been saved from suicide. Some have been saved from demonic attacks. I've had all sorts on the show over the years. And so they use Christian fiction as a vehicle via dark fiction to show just how bright the light is. And lets us know, like the Crossover Alliance says, the light shines brighter in the darkness. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Crossover Alliance, which Jess Hanna is a part of, and their book, Monster Anthology. It's a monster anthology. And I want to definitely highlight that on the show in the few moments we have left. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm influence, unrelated classifications? books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High Influence ebooks and audiobooks.
Hi, and welcome back to the special edition of The Right Stuff, the Queen here. We're talking to Jess Hanna. He is an author and publisher, and we're talking about Of God and Monsters, where Christian fiction intersects with dark fiction. Earlier in the show, we talked about the paranormal aspect, about demonic stories and spiritual stories and supernatural. Then we talked about monster movies and a couple of franchises that we liked. And then we talked about the monsters within us when we are led to self-destruction. And so we talked about a lot of these things, and we talked about how Christian fiction can explore these avenues through the vehicle of dark fiction in order to show that the light shines brighter in the darkness. Now, you may be familiar with that phrase because I play the Crossover Alliances ad all the time on my show. I met the owner of the Crossover Alliance, David Alderman, some years ago, and I've had a number of their authors on here, and Jess Hanna is part of that roster when it comes to that company, as well as Peter Young's husband, Mark Carver, and a few others. And they recently published an anthology about monsters. I love the cover of this book because it shows a hooded person with mist coming out of the hood and their hand covering their. And there are some good names, and there are some well-known names as well, some newer names in that anthology. So what I want to encourage you to do is go ahead and pick up that book. But one thing, and I want Jess to really expand on this, is that the Crossover Alliance in general seeks to explore some of these elements via more edgy Christian fiction, and they do and are open to dark fiction as part of their repertoire. So tell us a little about the Crossover Alliance, Jess, from the way you understand it, and about this anthology, the Monsters Anthology.
The Crossover Alliance was formed out of a desire to present edgy Christian fiction that has kind of a wide range. It can be more realistic scenarios where there is danger and talking about things that most Christian fiction would shy away from, like the horror type of stories or dark fantasy, or Mark Carver has an excellent book called Beast that's about an oil rig exploding. But Monsters is actually one of the anthology themes, and it actually was published last year around Halloween. The paperback wasn't available until January, so this is really the first chance to highlight this collection of stories. And it really does have a wide range of stories. Some of them are very introspective. I have two that are included in there called The Hellhole and The Warrior. And The Hellhole is really born out of kind of those dark fantasy type of stories. A stranger to a land that he's lived in decides that he's going to go and face this monster that's down in a pit. And then all of the things that happen in there and the revelations about his own weaknesses and cracking the code of whether or not he actually cares about something. And then also The Warrior is about a drug addict basically facing God in that moment and making a decision to face his drug addiction and how that actually moves forward. And it's all very fantastical and embellished quite a bit. As you said earlier, we're basically just lying for a living. But
I know, right?
Yeah, so Monsters is a great collection of stories and has some werewolf stories and some stories about some strange cults and different kinds of stories that I think would appeal to a wide range of audiences.
One thing about the Crossover Alliance I appreciate is the fact that they started off with this idea of creating edgier Christian fiction. And when I read Mark Carver's, and those of you who know, Mark Carver was my first male author auto buy. Whatever he wrote, I bought. I didn't even read the back of it. It was just, I love his writing so much. I just bought it. He knows that. And he thinks I'm crazy, but I'm not actually. So one of his books that was produced by the Crossover Alliance with a book called Baylor. And Baylor deals with curses and deals with demonic attachment. And it's this underground fighter who makes a deal with this demonic entity to become stronger. And as I was reading that book, I was found it very profound how he depicted this guy. The story ended up shifting from the guy to this child, and it really lets us know who do we let in our children's lives. And that was an interesting aspect, and almost a horror aspect, because women in general get lonely, so they may just take anyone into their lives, not thinking about how they can affect their children. Now, it's an underlying theme in the story. It's not the major part of the theme. But as I was telling Mark, as I was discussing his book with him, I said, you know what, that is just a brilliant way of showing how we have to be so careful in the choices, because you let people in your life and they may not only affect you, but they can affect your family in different ways. Crossover Alliance wants to show more realistic fiction, because mainstream Christian fiction, and I mentioned this recently on a podcast, they tend to want to whitewash a lot of things. Mind you, there are some readers who don't want to read dark fiction. I'm not saying you have to read it, but I think it is a problem when you tell people Christian fiction is only this. And I don't believe Christian fiction should be quote unquote safe. I think if anything, we should be the main ones exploring the dark parts of the human heart. The Lord did say the heart is wicked and desperately wicked and vain. Who can know it? The Lord does. And that's why he has to put these safeguards on our hearts. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. He said, and they did evil continually, that it repented the Lord that he even made man. This is what he says about us. So why would we shy away from these dark elements of our humanity and let people know that even in the midst of the darkness, the light shatters that darkness? What are your thoughts, Jess?
Well, like you were saying when you were talking about the aspect of children, I think that they do often get overlooked in some of these situations where someone may be bringing someone around who's maybe not so good for them. And maybe they don't realize it at the time, or maybe some people don't really care about that, but it always comes back later. And that's one of the things that also reminded me of what you were talking about with curses and things like that. That's also a pretty common trope in horror, is this idea of curses. And I think there is some truth to that, whether that is some sort of a problem or a trait that can get passed down from generation to generation. But the good news is that that can be broken. And that's one of the important things that people should know, is that you can break those things. You don't have to accept those into your life, whether that be drug addiction, alcoholism, a propensity to violence, or any other number of things that can be destructive. You don't have to accept that into your life. And I think that it's sometimes people can cling to that as kind of their identity. You know, this kind of trait runs in my family, or whatever the case may be. And I think it's important to know that you don't have to accept those things.
The way you summed it all up together, I was afraid. I was rambling a bit, and I wasn't. I'm just actually like thinking these thoughts through as I talk to you about them, because I love this conversation. I love talking about it every time October comes along. And to borrow from Mike Duran, horror is often seen as something that belongs to the devil. And I like how Mike Duran said, he says, why should the devil have all the fun? And we can use this as writers to share a Christian message, even in the midst of this dark fiction. It doesn't have to be stolen by Satan. We can hijack it back, show the people to the light. One thing about dark fiction that some people really enjoy, though, they enjoy the ups and downs of it. They enjoy the turmoil of it, because it really shows humanity in its light. And it's not always a pretty light that's seen in some of these. I was saying earlier on the same podcast I mentioned, I said, you know, I'm definitely afraid of bears. if I was in a vicinity where there's me and 8-year-old child and there's a bear coming for us, the horror aspect would be, do I trip this kid and let the bear get to him, or do I try to help me and the kid survive? And what would be my decision
right in
a moment like that? I hope I never have to find out, to be quite frank with you, because I may surprise myself by being extremely selfish. But we'll see. I hope I never find out, though. I really do. And so horror really does this great way of tackling these questions of life, not just with the monster movies or the demonic movies, but just the inward things that we're dealing with. Sometimes we deal with natural disasters and being caught up with things outside of our control. Another movie I was thinking about was Craw. I recently saw that movie, and it's a alligator movie. And there's a scene in there in the very beginning where the girl comes to check on her dad in the middle of a hurricane, and she's dragging her dad out from under the crawl space. When all of a sudden this alligator comes out of nowhere, scares everybody and myself to death. And she very wonderfully saves her father. And I even said she gets the Daughter of the Year award, because I don't know if I would have did that, particularly since her dad was unconscious. He was already injured and he's lived his life. That's what I would have said. You've lived your life, Dad. I haven't. I'm only 20 or whatever, you know. There are sometimes the horror of things being outside of our control, too, that Christian writers can also explore in dark fiction. So, Jess, what are some of your last thoughts about the topic as we get ready to close it out today?
Sure. Well, I think that horror does present an opportunity to actually get into some of those cathartic or self-evaluative situations. Like you were saying, you can put yourself in that character's shoes and think to yourself, would I have made those same decisions, or would I would my self-preservation kind of nature kick in and I would be quicker to save myself than to save someone else? And I think that kind of helps evaluate where your shortcomings may come from there, but then also illustrating what's possible in those situations. Like you were mentioning, that scenario in Crawl, for example, I think most of us would like to think that we would take that approach and save the person as well as saving ourselves. But if we're really honest and take a look at it, we may and we may not. And like you were saying, in certain scenarios, you might surprise yourself and actually take the, I guess it wouldn't be the easy way out, but the way out that saves your own skin. So I think it can be evaluated in that way. And kind of examine, if faced with a horrible situation, would I be able to have the strength to actually save other people? And I think that's an important thing to evaluate there. Or it just provides that opportunity in order to actually evaluate the horrible things in life and contain them in a story, in a self-contained movie or whatever the case is, in order to actually work through those issues. And I think that that has helped me throughout large parts of my life deal with certain aspects of different situations in order to have a process to walk through. Because let's be honest, most of them are formulaic.
The fact that Jesus saves us from our own horror story, the wages of sin, which is death and separation from God for eternity, I think that's something that we can really close on, because the horror is that sin cannot live with it. And God, because he is holy, cannot abide it, but that he would send his son to die for our sins and to save us from the end of that horror story. I think that's something that we should also be glad for. And so when people say that horror isn't a good vehicle of Christianity, I would say that it's probably a very good example of what Christianity can do. So instead of us succumbing to the horror around us, Jesus reaches down into that horror out of it. What do you think, Jess?
Oh, yes, definitely. That is an excellent thought. So you are absolutely right that we can do nothing to save ourselves from that eternal death. The only thing that we can do is to turn to Jesus. And I think that that's an important thing to remember and remind ourselves as Christians. When we get into these scenarios, sometimes the best thing that we can do is just stop and pray and ask for guidance and not try to fix whatever the situation is ourselves or feel like we have to face it alone, because we always have God there to help us.
Jess, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me. I've really enjoyed our conversation. What are your social media outlets?
Well, I am on Facebook and to a lesser degree on Twitter. Primarily, if they want to find out more about me, I can go to my website, which is www.jesshanna.com. And it just gives more information about the different works that are available and what kind of writing I do. On Facebook, it would be Jess Hanna Author if you want to sign up there. I post not as much as I would like to, but hoping to have some more details about upcoming work. But yeah, I think that that would be a good place to start and see what is available. I tend to focus on common stories at this point. So one of the stories that I have is about a haunted house that's adverse possession. And then another story is about aliens and alien abduction. That's Bright Lights, Dark Skies. And then, of course, there's my first novel, The Road to Hell, which really explores the reality of hell through the lens of one character's eyes. And you had mentioned also If It Causes You to Sin, available on the Untold podcast as an audio drama. And also there's several other short stories that are available in different anthologies, but that's where you can find me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me today on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate you inviting me on the show, and it's always a pleasure.
And we were talking today to Jess Hanna. He is an author and publisher. You can find out more about him by going to jesshanna.com. I also want to thank his wife, Jackie Jeline, for the theme music that she's produced for our network. Did a wonderful job, and we've definitely enjoyed working with her. I really enjoyed this topic today because we don't often get a chance to just sit back and discuss some of the weightier issues when it comes to the darker elements in our lives and our fiction. And I know there are Christian authors out there who want to write in this genre, and I want to encourage you to do as the Lord leads you. And if He leads you in that path, He will give you what you need to finish your book and get it out there to the public. Because guess what? There is a readership for you. Thank you so much for joining me for this special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.